May we turn first of all to Exodus 5, verse 2. Exodus 5, verse 2. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Here we have the attitude and character of a man who's soon to come under the judgment of God, this wicked king Pharaoh. Just imagine asking this question, "Who is the Lord?" What an insult to Jehovah. Well, who is the Lord, friends? He's the eternal Son of God and my Savior. Praise God, I can say that tonight with thanksgiving, that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. Is he yours? Would you dare to ask this question tonight? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? My dear friend, if you do not obey his voice, you'll find yourself in an eternal hell. God hath spoken, and he's spoken to you many times. And we have in his precious word tonight the way of salvation through faith in Christ, through repentance and faith. And we do trust that if there are any here, and I do believe there are some who know not the Lord as their Savior, perhaps you wouldn't dare to utter these words that Pharaoh did in such a sarcastic way, "Who is the Lord?" As much as to say, "He's of no consequence." Oh, my friend, he is. And I tell you again, if you do not receive him as your Savior, you're going to perish in your sins. You definitely will. And so God, in his infinite love and mercy, has lengthened out the day of grace tonight, until tonight, giving you, dear sinner friend, another opportunity of accepting this person whom Pharaoh despised and rejected. And if you do not listen to his voice and pay attention to his voice, you're in terrible danger. Immediate danger. And so we have this solemn, solemn question. Who is the Lord? Well, again I say, he's my Savior. Is he your Savior? Can we all say with truth tonight, "Yes, thank God, the Lord is my Savior"? I remember a young lad coming home from the Navy in England to visit his grandparents. He was very fond of his grandparents, and he was dressed in his sailor's uniform. And he went to show himself to his granddad. And his granddad said to him, "Son, you look fine in that uniform. But what do those words mean on your cap ribbon? HMS, and the ship's name." "Oh," he said, "Granddad, it means Her Majesty's Ship." Granddad said, "My dear boy, would it not be better if you can say it means He's my Savior? HMS. Dear friends, can we say that tonight with truth from our hearts? He's my Savior. And you know, soon he's to be the judge. He's the Savior tonight, but he may not be the Savior tomorrow. The time is short, dear friends, and delay is dangerous. And if you're not sheltered by the precious blood of Christ, you're exposed to the judgment of God. Our brother brought before us this afternoon that the children of Israel were sheltered by the blood of the Lamb. That constituted a place of perfect safety from judgment. And they also had something else. They had the word of God to assure them of their safety. For he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And that's all I have tonight, friends. Thank God I can say with thanksgiving I am sheltered by the blood of the Lamb of God. And I have the word of God to assure my heart of its blessed truth. And so we have this solemn verse from Pharaoh. "I know not the Lord." Is there one here tonight who would have to admit this? "I know not the Lord." Well, my friend, it's time you did know him. I want to solemnly warn you that the time is short. The day of grace will soon be gone. And the day of vengeance of our God set in upon this Christ-rejecting world. This is right now the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of grace. And it's to be followed, sad to say, by the day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance. Oh, you say, I thought God was a God of love. You thought right. He is. But He's also a God of light. He's a holy God and cannot let sin into heaven. So the sinner who passes from time into eternity in his sins must perish. That's the plain teaching of God's precious word. Well, now I'd like to turn to the 8th chapter. I'd like to pick out a few verses to get the subject. The 8th chapter of Exodus and verse 23. Exodus 8, 23, and I'll put a division between my people and thy people, tomorrow shall this sign be. And I feel pretty certain there is a division in this hall tonight between those who are saved and those who are lost. And what a very solemn division this is. Saved and lost. Believers and unbelievers. We read in God's precious word, he that believeth not is condemned already. And in Mark 16, he that believeth not shall be damned. What a solemn truth. He that believeth not is condemned already. But he that believeth is not condemned. Not condemned. How precious this is. Well, dear friends, ask yourselves this question in the presence of God who knows your heart. Am I in the first category, an unbeliever, lost, guilty, condemned already? Or am I a true believer on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you should know. God knows. He knows those that are His. And He knows those who have made an empty profession. And the testing time will come for you, friend, if you have made an empty profession. It did for the 10 virgins. Yes, the testing time came. And although the 5 foolish virgins looked very much like the 5 wise, yet there was a difference, a division. The testing time came when the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Then came the others. Lord, Lord, open to us. What was their solemn response? What an agonizing cry. Lord, Lord, open to us. What a withering response. I know you not. How solemn this is. That's for those who make an empty profession. That's what their end will be if they continue in that course. Well, here we find the Lord says, I've put a division between my people and thy people. Now will you turn to a few verses in the 9th chapter. Verse 4. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall be nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. Now notice, and the Lord appointed a set time. What a solemn statement this is. We read in Acts 17:30, God hath appointed the day in which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Yes, friends, God hath appointed the day in which he's going to judge this world by that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John 5:22, we read there, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And in the 27th verse we read, and hath given him, the Son, authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. These are two very solemn statements, friend. The Father judgeth no man. He's committed all judgment to the Son. He's given the Son the authority to execute the judgment. And the day has been appointed for it. And you cannot change the date. But in between those two verses, I love to think of it. John 5:24, the one who is appointed to be the judge says, verily, verily, I say unto you, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. What a glorious statement, sinner friend. As if the Lord, before he takes the reins of judgment, he appeals to the sinner. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Well, we read here, the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. Here's a definite statement, a definite time appointed, and God, I say again, has appointed the day in which he's going to judge this world in righteousness. Here it says, the Lord appointed a set time, and tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the next verse, and the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. A little further down, verse 14, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart. Old friends, that's where the trouble is. The heart needs to be reached. And so the Lord says he's going to send all his plagues upon thine heart. We read in Jeremiah 17, I believe, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord says, I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins. The Lord knows the hearts of everyone here tonight. He knows, friend, whether you are in your sins or whether you are in Christ. If you're in your sins, you're in danger of going to hell. If you die in your sins, my friend, you'll be raised in them to be judged for them. Yes, you will. That's a plain teaching of God's word. These are not our opinions or our thoughts or convictions. We have the word of God for it. And so we read here, at this, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants. You remember reading about the leper, and it says the trouble was deeper than the skin. Yes, friend, the trouble is in the heart. May we read a few verses, or a verse or two in Matthew 15 to prove this. Matthew 15 and verse 18. Speaking of the heart, which you may think, dear sinner friend, is pretty good in God's sight. Now let's see what God says about it. But those things which proceed out of the heart, out of the mouth, sorry, come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Now we have seven things mentioned here. The heart in its sevenfold wickedness. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Here we have the heart exposed by God through his precious word. And friend, this is a condition of your heart if you are without Christ. Yes, you have a wicked heart, and you need a renewed heart. You need that heart to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. And that blood is available right now, friend, to wash all your sins away and to make you fit for the holy presence of God. What is your attitude to the blood of Christ? Some people poo-poo the idea of the blood of Christ. They call it a slaughterhouse religion. It's not a slaughterhouse religion, friend. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. No, there is not. It's the blood which atones for the soul. It's the blood which satisfied the holy eye of God, satisfied all his claims. And that precious blood was shed for me. It was shed for you. Have you availed yourself of the precious blood of Christ? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb, friends? If not, you're filthy in God's sight. Read Proverbs 30 and see. It says there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. That's man's condition by nature, filthy in the eyes of God. But you can be cleansed right now, dear friend, by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior by appropriating the precious blood of Christ yourself. So you have here in this verse, verse 15 of the ninth of Exodus, "For now I will stretch out my hand." Notice, "For now I will stretch out my hand." In Proverbs 1 we read, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, no man regarded. Ye set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity and mock when your fear cometh." What a solemn statement. I have stretched out my hand, the Lord says. And friend, he's stretching out his loving, pierced hand to you tonight. He wants you to take his hand and receive him as your Savior. He wants you to be washed in his precious blood, that you may be fit for heaven and no longer filthy in God's sight. Because that's just exactly what man is by nature. Filthy in the eyes of a holy God. And so we need to be cleansed then. Have you been cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb? If not, you're not only filthy, friend, but you're exposed to the judgment of God and just awaiting the execution of God's judgment upon you. He says, "For now I will stretch out my hand that I might smite thee." Isn't that a solemn statement? Here we find the Lord is going to stretch out his hand in judgment. "I will smite thee." But tonight, friends, he offers you mercy. He offers you grace. He offers you salvation, cleansing through his precious blood, the gift of eternal life, a home in the glory, to be justified by faith from all things. God is offering the sinner that tonight. Is there a sinner here in his or her sins? Oh, friend, face these glorious truths. If you only knew something of the wonderful heart of God, that heart of love, you wouldn't stay away from him another moment. Now, God has revealed that great heart of love to this world through the person of his beloved Son. And so we have here, "Now I will stretch out my hand that I might smite thee and thy people with pestilence." Now, a little further down, verse 18. "Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now." Now, how solemn this would sound to Pharaoh. "Behold, tomorrow, 24 hours grace." And friend, we cannot promise you that tonight. This is the day of grace, but I tell you, it's to be followed by the day of vengeance of our God. Yes, our God is a consuming fire. He's a merciful God and a loving God, but his grace and patience will not go on forever. No, we read in the early chapters of this blessed book, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Maybe the Spirit of God is striving with some sinner here tonight, man, woman, or child, I know not. God knows, maybe you know too. What is your response to those strivings? You going to say no, not just now, a little later? Friend, you may never see a little later. No, God's time is now. Now. He says in the 19th verse, or 18th verse, "Behold, tomorrow about this time I'll cause it to rain a very grievous hail." Verse 19, "Send therefore now." Send therefore now. And what? Do what? "And gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which will be found in the field and shall not be brought home." Dear friend, would you be brought home if the Lord came right now? Ask yourself a question, my dear friends. Would you be brought home if Christ came right now? We read here of a house and a field. The house was a shelter, and the field exposed them to judgment. And the field is the world. Are you in the world or are you in Christ Jesus? It must be one or the other, friends. Let's be fair about this and face these matters squarely tonight. And so we read here, "Send therefore now." Oh, how often God uses that word, now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Oh, the grace of God to desire to reason with a sinner in order that the sinner might receive a blessing. Come now, let us reason together. Can you imagine the grace of the eternal Son of God appealing to the sinner? Let us reason together. Well, man likes to reason naturally, but the Lord doesn't reason on those terms that man does. No, he wants man to know that he's a lost, guilty sinner, a helpless sinner. And he wants the sinner to know he loves him. And he's provided a Savior for him in the person of his Son. And he offers that Savior to you tonight, dear sinner friend, and this may be your last opportunity of receiving him as such. Tomorrow may be too late. Time is short. Delay is dangerous. Now it says, upon every man, notice, and beast which will be found in the field. In the field. May we picture that to a sinner in the world without Christ? What will happen to such? Says, and shall not be brought home. The hail shall come down upon him, and they shall die. They shall die. Yes, the wages of sin is death. And my friend, if you are not sheltered by the blood of the Lamb, you're in danger of death and judgment. Yes, not merely death. Many people would say, I'm not afraid to die. Perhaps you're not, but that's not the end. God says, after death, the judgment. The judgment. That's a solemn thought, isn't it? Judgment, you say? What do you mean? Why does God want to judge me? Because you're a sinner, dead in trespasses and sins. And if you die in your sins, you'll be raised in them to be judged by the same person that we're presenting to you tonight, the loving Savior of sinners. Oh, to me, that's awfully solemn to think. That the Lord Jesus Christ, who pleads with you now to accept him as your Savior, is to be the judge in the coming day. Now, brother sitting here said one night, and I'll never forget it. He said, and friend, the last face you'll look into before you're cast into hell is the face of Jesus. Friends, to me, that's awfully solemn. The face of Jesus before you're cast into hell forever. That face who had looked at you during your years here on earth and pleaded with you, looked down upon you in love and pleaded with you to accept him, and you just threw away the opportunities. Now what? You face him there at the great white throne and cast into hell. Oh, friend, to take the vision of that face with you in hell, think of it. The person who might have been your Savior, the one who loved you unto death. To think of that, oh, it's too solemn to think of. Now it says, he that feared the word of the Lord, notice, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. He that regarded or feared the word of the Lord made his servants and cattle flee into the houses. There's a place of shelter here for the people and for the cattle, apparently. And those who regarded the word of the Lord believed what he said, and they acted upon it. And urged them to flee into the houses, because judgment was coming. And then it says, he that regarded not the word of the Lord, what happened to them? Left his servants and his cattle in the field. And those who are left in the field, friend, outside of the house, outside the place of safety, died. They came under that awful plague, the judgment of God. What a solemn picture this is. Dear friends, do you regard the word of the Lord tonight? Or do you disregard the word of the Lord? It's one or the other. We've had the word of the Lord before us much today, and I'm thankful we have. Because there we have something solid to rest upon for all eternity. The solid foundation of the immutable word of God and the finished work of Christ. What more do we need? And so, how is it with you, dear friend? Do you disregard the word of the Lord, or do you regard the word of the Lord? The Lord has spoken, and he's warning you of coming judgment. He warns you of the danger of putting this matter off, of having to do with God about your sins. And he offers you salvation, forgiveness of sins, and the gift of eternal life. That's a gift. You cannot work for it. You cannot earn it. You cannot merit it. God offers it to you as a gift. Will you take it? Many of us here have taken it, thank God. But how is it with you, young people? You, dear children of the saints who have been under the sound of the gospel many times, are you getting gospel hardened? Or does the word of God find an entrance into your heart and prick your conscience and make you realize that so far you have disregarded the word of the Lord? Oh, what a blessed thing, friends, to regard the word of the Lord. to bow your ear to it, to listen to his voice and obey it. And that brings the blessing. And so there were those here who feared the word of the Lord and those who regarded not the word of the Lord. Two classes. What happened to them? Plain enough stated here. Those who feared the word of the Lord made the servants and cattle flee in the houses. He regarded not the word of the Lord, left his servants and his cattle in the field. It says in verse 23, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt. All that was in the field, think of it, friends, all that was in the field came under this judgment. And I say again, if the Lord came tonight, friend, and you're left in the field, you'll come under the judgment of God too. And there's no need for it. God loves the sinner. God sent his beloved Son down into this world to redeem the sinner, to save him from his sin, that he might not come under the judgment of God, but that he may be saved from his sin, have them washed away in his precious blood, be at peace with God, justified from all things, accepted in the beloved, and on the way home to glory. Oh, friend, this is a gift of God. Will you not have it? You, dear souls here tonight who are lost, what about it? What are you thinking about? Are you planning for the morrow? Friend, you may not see the morrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Lord may come in the meantime, and we who know him as our Savior, we who have regarded the word of the Lord, we long to see him. We hope he'll come right now. But oh, to think there may be some children of the saints left in these very seats to face judgment when he could have faced a home in the glory with your parents and with Christ. Oh, dear boys and girls, think of it. Think of it. The Lord could come at any moment, and he's going to take every believer home to glory. Well, you say, my dad and mother are saved, and I guess I am. My dear young people, your father's faith and mother's faith will never save your soul. Never. It's personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to appropriate Christ's death for yourself as the only means of salvation. Yes, Christ died for our sins. Thank God that's not the end. If we could only present a dead Christ to you tonight, I wouldn't stand here. We'd be yet in our sins. That he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We have a living Savior in the glory, as we sometimes sing. And friend, he is waiting to receive you. Will you receive him? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you believe on his name? You may have believed lots of things about him. But is your faith and trust in the person of Christ, the Lord Jesus? You'll perish without him, friend, I assure you. You'll be saved by the reception of him, saved from hell, your sins washed away, and a home in the glory. You're just waiting for the Lord to come and take you there. But if you have disregarded the word of the Lord and have not received him as your Savior, I solemnly warn you, you're in danger of hell, an eternity in hell. We read of one brought before us in Luke's Gospel who was seen in hell or Hades. What was his position? He said he was in torments, not comfortable. In torments. He cried for one drop of mercy to cool his tongue, one drop of water. And he didn't get it and he never will. It says of Lazarus, he was comforted. One comforted, one tormented. Friend, that'll be your case if you disregard the word of the Lord concerning your condition as a lost, guilty sinner and concerning the person and work of Christ at Calvary and his resurrection and ascension to glory. Oh, do not disregard the word of the Lord. Regard his word. Believe it now. Accept Christ as your Savior and go on your way rejoicing. Well, it says here in the 26th verse, this is very sweet and precious. It says, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Friend, where the children of God are, there is no judgment. Where are they? In Christ Jesus. Yes, only in Goshen. Only. And only those who are safe in Christ will escape the judgment of God. Others will come under that awful judgment and be punished eternally. Oh, you say, but that doesn't suggest that God is a merciful God. Oh, yes, it does. God is offering you mercy now, dear sinner friend. He's offering you salvation, forgiveness of sins, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to me this is wonderful. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. No hail. No judgment. And I repeat again, there is no judgment for the children of God. Where are they? In Christ Jesus. That's where they are. And there's no judgment for everyone here who knows Christ as their Savior. No, no judgment. Why? It's passed in Him who bought us with His blood. That blessed, precious Savior has borne the judgment that I deserve. Yes, He's borne it in His own blessed person on the cross. The judgment I deserved was borne by my Savior. Now I say it reverently, God will not punish the two of us, His beloved Son and me too. No, He's punished His beloved Son. Please the Lord to bruise Him, to put Him to grief. Oh, friends, we can never know the grief that Blessed One went through on the cross of Calvary. Not only at the hands of wicked men, but at the hand of a holy God. When all that divine judgment fell upon His blessed, devoted head. Yes, when He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Oh, we can never, never, never know what the Lord Jesus passed through under the hand of a holy God. We often think of His physical sufferings under the hands of wicked men, but that was as nothing compared with what He suffered under the righteous judgment of holy God against sin. And that he has borne in His own person for me, and I'll never cease to thank Him for it. Now, dear friends, what is your attitude? Are you like the children of Israel in Goshen? Are you in a place of safety? Or are you exposed to the judgment of God? The children of Israel, they had to apply that blood and get in the house behind it. They couldn't see it any further. They'd put it on the doorpost, on the lintel, but now they couldn't see it any longer. They were inside behind it. It presented an ark of safety. But that blood was for the eye of the Lord. And dear friends, He can see tonight whether you are sheltered by the blood or not. Yes, He can. God's eye is upon everyone in His hall tonight, and He knows your heart. He knows whether you are a believer, whether you regard the word of the Lord, whether you disbelieve His word, whether you are a rejecter of Christ or a neglecter of this great salvation. God knows. You cannot deceive Him. I do not know what's in your heart. God does, friend. And so He said He would send the plagues upon Pharaoh's heart. That's the seat of all the trouble. What about the poor publican when he went to the temple to pray? He smote upon his breast. He would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. He hung his head in shame. He smote upon his breast. In other words, he traced sin to its source. As much as say, God, the trouble is in here. This is where it is. He traced sin to its source. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the next verse, oh, how precious it is. I tell you, the Lord says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The other man who boasted of how good he was. So this poor man, the publican, told God how bad he was. And he was the one who received the blessing. And if you're too proud to own how bad you are, friend, you better get down on your knees right away in the presence of God and tell Him how bad you are. And you're in need of a Savior. And He's waiting to receive you. He'll not despise you. He'll not turn you away. We read in John 6:37, the Lord says, He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No wise. Not on any occasion, under any circumstances, will I cast him out. I've never heard of one coming to Christ in true repentance yet who have been turned away. Never. And we never will. No, He receives all who come to Him in simple faith and repentance. And friend, this is something God commands from you tonight. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. We've been speaking about the gospel today, and it's the gospel of God concerning His Son. The gospel is good news, not sad news. Sad news is the fact that you'll spend an eternity in hell if you disbelieve the gospel. May we read a verse in 2 Thessalonians in connection with this solemn truth. 2 Thessalonians. Verse 7 of the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And what else? And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Think of it. Oh, how solemn this is, friend. Here we have the words of the Lord. You're going to regard them or disregard them? Flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. How terribly solemn to disregard the gospel, to disobey the gospel of God concerning his Son. It brings destruction, friends. It certainly does. We have read of it tonight, and these are the words of the Lord. It brings destruction to disobey the gospel. You cannot go out of the doors you came in, you know. No, indeed not. You're more responsible to God. You've heard in a very poor, stumbling way the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. His precious blood was shed to wash all your sins away. Oh, friend, will you have this person tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ? Will you go out of the door in your sins in danger of going to hell perhaps in a very short time? Yes, the Lord is coming at any moment now to take every believer home to glory. And then, dear sinner friend, if you have not received him, you'll be left behind for God's awful judgment. You will. Yes, and all the doubting in the world will not alter it. People say, I do not believe a word of that. It doesn't alter the truth of it, friends. A naval officer once said to me, why don't you burn your Bibles? What good are they? I don't believe it. I said, my friend, listen. God says in John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. This naval officer thought he sounded very big in front of his companions. Oh, I don't believe in the Bible. He said, burn it. What good is it? It's been a lot of good to me, friends. It's shown me how I stand before a holy God in my sins. And this precious book has shown me, too, the love of God toward a sinner like myself. He's told me of his great love in sending the Lord Jesus Christ down here to die for my sins, to wash them away in his precious blood, that I might be eternally saved. Oh, that poor naval officer. All he could say at the end was, too bad. Yes, friend, it is too bad for you. And it'll be too bad for anybody here. I remember giving out gospels on the street in Cape Town to some soldiers. And I gave one to a young soldier, Gospel According to St. John. He said, this is interesting. I printed these books in England. I said, did you? That is interesting. Very. He said, may I ask you a question about it? Oh, yes, he said. Ask me what you like. I printed them. I said, friend, do you believe what you printed? Do you believe what you printed? Well, he said, I don't know about that. I printed them. So I referred him again to that verse, John 12:48. He had printed the word, and yet he didn't believe it. And that word he printed is going to judge him. How solemn this is, friend. The word of God is going to judge you through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. He is to be the judge. But he turns to you now in all his love and grace and offers you forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and a home in the glory. You're going to despise this one? Behold, he despises and wander and perish. That'll be your lot if you do not accept this precious Savior. Oh, friends, if you only knew how much he loved you, you wouldn't stay away from him another moment. No, you'd come to him in a moment and accept him as your Savior. I tell you, he loves you. He died for you on the cross. His precious blood was shed to wash all your sins away. And now he invites you to come to him You remember we read the Lord said, I will stretch out my hand. And I repeat that solemn verse in the first chapter of Proverbs. He says, because I have called, I have stretched out my hand, no man regarded. Is that true of you, dear sinner friend? Have you disregarded that loving hand pierced for our sins? Have you disregarded that hand? He's put it out to welcome you. He wants to receive you as his own. He wants to blot out all your sins and give you a home in the glory to spend an eternity with him there. Will you not have him? Oh, my dear sinner friend, I plead with you in the name of my precious Savior not to go out of that door in your sins tonight, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Set your seal that God is true concerning the person and work of his beloved Son and concerning yourself as a lost, guilty, helpless sinner, and receive him by faith. Then you can go out of the door rejoicing in the knowledge of sins forgiven and peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail, no judgment. Is that your happy lot? Is that your position, dear friend, tonight? I'm not suggesting you go to the land of Goshen, but I suggest that you come to the Savior and be sheltered by his precious blood. There's a place of shelter here from judgment, the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were. No hail there, no judgment. And I repeat, there's no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. No, there isn't. The Lord, the judge, has told us so. He's not the judge at the moment. He's going to be, and perhaps very soon. And now he pleads with you, verily, verily, I say unto you, how personal, how individual, I say unto you. Dear sinner friend, can you not listen to his loving voice as if he were addressing you tonight? I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. Oh, the joy that brings to my own soul to know that I'm exempt from judgment. I deserved it. True, I did. Every ounce of it. But thank God it's been borne by his beloved Son. And now God has set me free because of what Christ has done for me on the cross. And what he has done for you as a believer. Well, what are you going to do about this? He that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and cattle in the field. A place of danger. But he that regarded the word of the Lord made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. Friends, there is still a place of shelter and safety from judgment. And it's only beneath the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. To be sheltered from judgment, you must be sheltered by his blood. Nothing else will shield you from judgment but the blood of Christ. And that has been shed and is available tonight. And it's offered to you without money, without price. Dear sinner friend, what do you think of Christ? What is he to you? Remember what wicked Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? I know not the Lord. Why should I obey his voice? Oh, I solemnly warn you, friend, if you disobey his voice, it'll be at your own eternal peril. Yes, you'll sink in hell in the blackness of darkness forever, tortured, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. What a contrast to the bright scene in the glory with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The choice is yours tonight, my friend. It may not be in half an hour's time. Time is short, I plead with you. Not to put this matter off of having to do with God about your sins. The Savior is available. He pleads with you to turn to him and accept him. Will you do it? Are you going to say no to the Savior of sinners, the only one who can save your soul and put your sins away and take you home to glory? You're going to say no to him? He that is not with me is against me. Are you against the Savior tonight, my friend? Oh, how solemn your position. If you're against the only Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. The time is coming when he's going to judge this world in righteousness. God is by that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beware. Judgment is just ahead. Salvation is available now. Take it and happy be.